Excited because we are starting a new sermon series, and look, November and December is the months that decide how the rest the whole year goes. It's funny because we are up until this point, so January to November, we just live life, right? But it's really November and December are the months that are so impactful when we reflect back on the whole year. Is it going to be a deal breaker or not? And so when we come into November, we have to come into it with a heart of gratitude. But we also have to look back at the year because so many blessings have happened throughout the year, right? But then moving forward, guess what comes in January? We all, you know, look at these New Year's resolutions and we make these goals and you know, the Lord tells us not to commit to something and say, I will do it, because we're going to falter and fail, right? And so we have to really look at not just making these goals that we try to achieve, but it's a way of lifestyle, like a lifestyle change, right? And I've had doctors tell me that, and they said, you know, don't focus on a diet, focus on a lifestyle change. And so that lifestyle here is positioning your heart, and we're moving forward to position your heart to be more grateful. And so this sermon series is our Thanksgiving sermon series, and it's going to be going throughout the month, and it's going to build on one another. So each sermon is going to build, but we're doing it a little differently. So this year, Thanksgiving, we're going to put more on you all. So I'm going to preach a little bit, but then you're all going to do stuff. And so, yeah, it's good. I'm going to ask things of you, and I'm going to ask you all to participate. And there's this is a mandatory participation, I say, for the month, is because it's not going to be hard. It is going to be recorded, but what on the recording, I'm going to cut out us doing the exercises, and I'm going to put the exercise on the screen so they'll hear me. But they're going to be, whoever watches it online can do the exercise as well. And so as we start, I was praying about this, and I think I did the same type of title last year. It's Gratitude in Action, but God's really steered in a different direction this year. And I love that, because every year is a foundational moment where we build upon each other, especially as brothers and sisters in Christ and as a ministry or church or whatnot. But we don't want to look at November as just the starting of a holiday season, which we already know that some people are already in that mood. Emily's been listening to Christmas music for 3 days now. She came home like this. And I know that's up. That's that time of year. Jingle bell, jingle, right? And she loves it. And so she's going to start decorating soon. And things are happening. Look at that woman right now. You see it? She's all giggity, 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 right? I don't know if I could say that in a sermon, but I did. A little bit of Family Guy. Yeah, well, edit that out. No, she does. She gets excited, right? She gets excited for the holidays. And it's much more than just the holidays. You know, it's the meaning behind all this stuff. And so we want to look at this as it's a way of life, right? Thanksgiving is a way of life. And so we need to learn how to cultivate this gratitude in situations, and how gratitude flows into this generosity, blessings of others, and glorifying God. That's the main point when it comes to Thanksgiving, is we glorify God in what He does, because it's hard to have a grateful heart and be thankful to God and then be poor me, pity me, how dare you, this, and this. And I had a conversation last night. It's like, if you're praying for someone that's hurt you, then you can't hate them in the same time you're praying for them, because that is the essence of love, is praying for an individual. So maybe instead of sitting here and poor me or victim me or this me, pray for the individual and quit trying to come up with ways just to keep hating this individual, but to pray for them and to be grateful even in the midst of chaos, that it's helped define maybe what direction you're going in your life, right? And so sometimes the enemies actually position our hearts through God to be better than we once were in Christ, right? And so we have to think that through, but ultimately it's glorifying God. Everything we do is glorify God, to glorify God. We watched a movie last night, and I want you all to watch it. It's Disciples in the Moonlight. And it's about Bible runners in America, because the Bible's been replaced with this Enlightened Bible. So it's illegal to have the Bible, and they're running it. And they're being true disciples within America, and where we have a box of Bibles here, we're collecting to send to Africa because they're hungry and eager to know the Word of God. Yet we have an abundance We're thankful that we can donate them. However, at one point in our lives, maybe in our burden of your life, that's going to be illegal to possess, okay? And so I told Emily, I was like, we need to do a better job at memorizing it. No excuses. Because the only way they're going to take the Bible away from you at that point is to kill you. And at that point, we're with Jesus, right? And so I would hate to yearn for the Word of God when we've had all this time to write it on the tablets of our hearts. I have to do a better job. I have to make priority in my life to sit there and read, to make sure it's ingrained in my heart. So that way when whatever happens and they get taken away, the only way it's going to be taken away from you or I is through death. And that's a powerful thing that we need to strive for. And if everyone strives for that, could you imagine what that looked like? And so today we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And as we approach this scripture and as we approach this season, think about what it means to be thankful for things like food, family, health, right? And think about the hard times that you've experienced, the hard times that you've been through, and even think about the situations where you don't think it warrants a Thanksgiving. But let's read 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Paul's writing to a startup church. It's a church that's new in faith. It's a church that's building upon on each other with brothers and sisters in Christ. And he's guiding them. He's guiding the leaders. He's guiding people he instilled to put in charge of this church. And so as he's writing in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, he says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus," right? So that's the scripture we're focusing on today. And we're going to break it down because this, in essence, shows us how to have a heart of gratitude no matter the circumstances that we face. But then later on, like I said, we're going to do an exercise to kind of apply it, to apply what Paul's saying, to apply it to our heart, to sit down and slow down and think about it. And as we look at this exercise, and we're coming to this exercise, we have to have gratitude for what Jesus and that amazing work he's done in our lives. We've all experienced that. If you probably wouldn't be here today if Jesus wasn't the Lord of your heart, okay? And so we have to remember that. And so as we go through this sermon, we're going to break this down in each word by word, basically, or at least phrase by phrase, because it's important how things are worded, okay? And Paul, we know Paul was very noble with his words, wasn't he? And he had a lot of experience. And until you experience what Paul experienced, it's hard to kind of understand, because none of us had a death warrant on our life to go share the gospel, right? That movie. We have not experienced this. The worst case scenario that maybe we experience is a family member ostracizing you because they don't believe in Christ or some conflict there. But we've never had a gun pointed at our head and said, look, deny Jesus Christ, right? Deny him. And so let's begin by looking at what Paul says, and let's start off with the first part. Give thanks in all circumstances. So give thanks in all circumstances. Paul's making this clear that gratitude is not optional. It's mandatory for believers because it's God's will for us. Okay, you hear me? So it's not optional. This is something that we mistreat all the time, and we treat it like it is optional, but Paul's telling us it's not optional, and it's God's will for us. It's ordained by God to give thanksgiving. It's not just a suggestion, but it's an idea that we need to strive at in our daily lives. You know, have you ever had a hard time saying you're thankful to someone? But you know you are, but those words just don't want to come out. It's because we're not practicing thanksgiving enough, and we're not giving it to the Lord like we should. And so this command is essential to following Jesus Christ. Because we saw what he did. We saw how he role modeled this. So why is gratitude so important to God? God is God. He does not need anything, really. He's God. But why is it so important that we give thanksgiving and gratitude to him? Because it shifts our focus from a problems-based orientation to a God's provision. It takes away what we think is I, but it goes back to giving God what he's provisioned for us. So it shifts our mentality, it shifts our focus. And so then we can thank God in the midst of the most difficult circumstances. Have you ever met that individual? And you don't understand them, but they're thanking God. And it's a cancer diagnosis, and they're thanking God. So it gives us, the ability to stop fixating on what's wrong and start focusing on what God is doing in the midst of the chaotic nature. There's power in that, right? And it changes your heart. It changes your whole demeanor because the problems are real, right? We're not minimizing that the problems are not real, but God is greater than the problems you're facing. And we oftentimes put this backwards. We make the problems greater than God, but God is greater than all the problems we face. And so giving thanks helps us remember that God is greater and He's working on our behalf. And so in the moments that we get caught up and we want to be critical, we want to be negative, we have to slow down. And I'm preaching to myself. This is for me. This is for my wife. I hope you all benefit. Because we miss those moments. And when we get caught up in those moments, life starts to smother you, doesn't it? It starts to suffocate you. But we always have to remember that when we can't see what's happening, doesn't mean it's not happening, right? So God is working, even in the midst of things like, what's going on? But if we give thanksgiving, we're sitting there saying, God, I trust your will. It's sovereign. It's greater than my understanding. And then gratitude deepens our faith. It creates that sense of communion with God, that we're drawing closer to Him, that thankfulness, and we build a habit of looking for God's goodness. How many times in your life, this is just raise your hand, how many times do you look more for the negative, or you tend to talk about the negative more than the positive? Oh, this job, blah, 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 this job, or this, but then you miss the fact that the blessings that come with that job, the blessings that come with knowing that person. See what I'm saying? We focus, and I used to do an example. I'd start a group, and I'd go 5 times 1 is 5. 5 times 2 is 11. 5 times 3 is 15. 5 times 4 is 20. 5 times 5 is 25. And everyone in the room like, oh, well, 5 times 2 is not 11. You miss the fact that I got everything else right, and your focus was on the one thing I did wrong. So gratitude deepens our faith. And we cultivate this thankfulness, and we build a habit of looking for this goodness in our lives. And so that changes the way we operate, but it leads to a stronger faith, okay? And it's about being in communion with God and about understanding what true blessings are, because then we start to expect to see God's blessing in His hand in every situation, right? So if we got this negative mindset, then all we're going to look is for the dark. But we're going to look at God's hand in the middle of the darkness, right? And so as we learn to trust God in all these things, we experience this deeper peace of joy. It does bring joy. And those moments to where we stay focused on Jesus. You know, we come back from Emmaus, and it's fleeting, isn't it? Like the flesh wants to take back over. There's a peace to what we just experienced. There's a change in our demeanor, but yet life still somehow comes in and pulls us back into the old way, right? And so that's why it's so important for us to kind of step out and be grateful in all circumstances and not allow the world to come and smother us back up with all these weeds that are surrounded us, right? And so, you know, if it's a critical spirit or if it's getting overwhelmed or calling people idiots, you know, whatever it may be, right? It's something I got to work on, right? Brent and I, we're similar in that sense because I had to do it. You know, I was trying not to, and finally the flesh got out, idiot! Even my wife, you just had to say it, didn't you? I was like, oh, it felt so good. It felt so good. But, look, I hope you see that this person standing up here is not perfect, and no one up here should be on a pedestal, right? We struggle the same as you do, but we go through the same things we do. We go through the same disappointments, fears, frustrations, and we even get stuck in this negative mindset at times. And so, as Paul goes in all circumstances, he doesn't say give thanks for all circumstances, but he says give thanks for in all circumstances, not for all, in all, right? And so we're not called to be thankful for the bad things happening. People tend to get stuck on that. Like, you're saying I have to be thankful for this, da-da-da-da-da, right? But rather, we're being called to give thanks in the midst of that chaotic world. So here as we leave today, we always have to remember, I love it. I love being small and I love inside jokes. I love what Emily starts amongst our women of faith group. But God's working. Brody, God's working. He's always working. in the midst of things you don't understand or don't know and can't predict. He's working in the midst for your good, even when it doesn't feel like it, right? And so that's what helps us grow, is to know that God's on our side. The Bible's clear about He will not leave us nor forsake us, right? He wouldn't have done everything He has already done through His Son, Jesus Christ, just to sit there and leave you in the dark, to sit there and let you go down a path that is going to be, it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough at times, but it's not alone, right? You're not alone. And so what does it look like to give thanks in difficult circumstances? You know, we know that in a time of loss that He's near the brokenhearted, isn't He? Psalms says that. He's near the brokenhearted. He's close to them. He draws close. You draw close to Him, He draws close to you. In seasons of uncertainty, I think we've all experienced that recently. Like, we don't know what's going to happen, but God is sovereign. And we have to understand God's sovereign, meaning God's in control of all, okay? He's everywhere at any time and every moment, and He knows the insides, the depths of your heart. He knows all, and He is in total control. He holds our future. That's what Jeremiah 29:11 really stands for, is it's God that's sovereign, and God is in control. God is holding our future. It's cute that you think you are, but it's really God that's in charge. And so when we rest in His sovereignty, then we rest that saying, we don't have to carry this burden. We just need to surrender. We just need to make sure that we have obedience in the Word of God and we're growing in the truth of who Jesus Christ is, and we're doing what He's called us to do. That's what we have control of, is going, right? And so in those moments of frustration and hardship, we give thanks that God is working all things together. What is that? Romans 8:28. He's working all things together. What for? For you to have a nice truck or a nice house? Or no, to glorify Him and work in His kingdom, to glorify His Son, Jesus Christ. You are a vessel for the works He's wanting to do, and that's a blessing. So when we're called to go, say, thank You, Lord, because there's a lot of people that are being called that miss, right? So think about Paul and Silas in Acts 16. After being beaten and thrown into prison, they were praying and singing hymnals, songs to God. They were in prison. They just got beat, whooped, okay? They weren't thanking God for being in prison. God, thank You for putting this prison cell. Thank You for putting these wounds on our faces. No, they were praising Him in the midst of what was going on. That God is in the middle of this, and He's greater than what they're experiencing, and they're giving that glory to Him. And what happened? God shook the prison. He shook the prison just as He's shaken our lives, and He's setting them free just as He set us free. Quit living in a life that's still bondage to sin and slavery, and live in the moment that God is sovereign and He set you free in the midst of what's going on. We will not fully understand why people leave this earth early. We will not understand why some people live certain ways and some people do certain things. That's not up to us to understand. God, in the end, is going to separate the goats from the sheep. It's our duty and our call to give Him thanks and the blessings that we do see and receive, right? We can control that. But He shook this prison. He set them free. So gratitude has the power to do just that. God, I'm giving You thanks. He's setting you free from the bondage of fear, setting you free from the loss of someone. He's setting you free, and He's changing your hearts. And He changes our circumstances too. Does that mean we're going to be getting the loved one that we miss dearly back? No. But we're going to think more on the Thanksgiving of that loved one that we spent time with, and allow His legacy or their legacy to go on through our lives in honor, in memory, right? I choose not to remember all the bad things of my father. I want to hang on to the good things. I want to hang on to the things that help mold me. Even the bad things help mold me in a sense, but what does it do to hang on to every flaw He has? Because He was a sinner just like me. But I would hope that my children hang on to the good qualities of their Father, right? And so when we give thanksgiving and we understand that He shook the prison and we're set free and that He's got the power to change our hearts and He changes the circumstances, He's given us Jesus, hasn't He? That's the ultimate reason for gratitude, is that He's given us Jesus. Paul reminds us in the last part of the verse is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's plain and simple. So everything God has done for us, He's done it through Christ Jesus. He's done it through, and Jesus is the ultimate reason. We see those t-shirts. Jesus is the reason for the season. But do you truly understand this? Do we truly understand it? Or are we just wearing Christian apparel or slogans that seem, oh yeah, like we know what it means, right? So when we're dead in our sins, Jesus came to rescue us, didn't He? He gave His life on the cross so that we could have eternal life, okay? We're going to be with Jesus and God forever. What a blessing. And we're going to be in heaven where there's no more cancer, there's no more heartaches, there's no more loss, there's no more death, there's no more. There's no more pain. But it's just the whole reason in heaven is here when we worship, we praise and we sing and we honor God. That's what we're going to be doing in heaven for eternity. This is a practice field so we can understand how important it is. That's what we're going to be doing for the rest of our life. But He gave His life on this cross, this beautiful cross. But there's nothing greater to be more thankful than what happened here. The cross itself, He's not here, right? This is a reminder. I get it. But it's what He did on this cross. What He took on this cross. And what He said on this cross sets us free. And then when He went down and He resurrected, He defeated death. But His last words on this cross is, it is finished. It is finished. And so we have the assurance of eternal life through Jesus' works on the cross, through repentance and belief, that faith in Him. And that's because of the mercy of God, that no matter what we face in this life, we are loved, we are forgiven, and we are redeemed by Jesus Christ if we believe that He is the only way to heaven. So, we're coming up on this exercise, and I want you all to sit here and think. And really think, what are you truly thankful for Jesus and what He did on the cross? Okay? But how has His grace changed your life? Think this through. If Jesus was here today, what would you tell Him? This cross is just a representation of what He's done. Okay? We're not turning this cross into an idol. But this is a representation of what He's done, that justification, that He stood here and bled out, who's beaten and battered for you, for me. So what has He truly done in your life? What has He changed in your life? And what are we thankful for because of this? So take a few minutes and reflect on this. And there's some papers, pens, and push pens that I want you to kind of grab up and I want you to write on what you're thankful for. How's your life changed? What blessings have been poured into your life because of Him? Okay? But I want to read scripture in Colossians 2, 13 through 14 as we're thinking about this. When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, have canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. So take a moment and think about the specific sins that Jesus has forgiven. You don't put your name on it. We don't need to know the name. This is between you and Jesus. How has this sacrifice changed your life? What blessings did He pour into your life because of His love? And write a thank you note to Jesus. Say, Jesus, thank You for whatever specific sin He's forgiven. Thank Him for how he's been present in your life. Thank him for the blessings he's poured out into your life. Thank him for what he's done on the cross. And once you write your note, I want you to come forward and come up here and put the note on the cross. Okay? And this is symbolic, that you're giving back for what he's put on the cross and what he's done on the cross. You're going to put it back on here. And we're going to do this all month. And what we're hoping at the end of the month is that this cross is going to, it's bare and it's empty right now, but it's going to be full of all the things that you're going to give to Jesus. It's not just your burdens, it's your thanksgivings, it's your gratitude, it's your love for what he's done for you. And hopefully at the end of the month, this thing's going to be full. And it's going to be full of blessings. It's going to be full of burdens that he's taken. And it's going to be profound. Like, we don't need to overcomplicate our thanksgiving. So as I say this prayer, pray it along with me in your inside, or if you're out loud, or however you want to do it, okay? So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come before you with grateful hearts, knowing that you gave everything for us. You took our sin, our shame, and our guilt, and you nailed it to the cross. We thank you for the forgiveness and the new life we have in you. Help us to live each day in gratitude, remembering your sacrifices and sharing your love with others. We praise you, Lord, and we offer our thanks for now and forever. Amen.